Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etchel. We're now in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Dalad Amud Bet. In the middle of our discussion of different Shinuyim, etc., whether Shinui is Konan, really having concluded that piece of it, we have a very short piece today, which will take us to the next section of our Mishnah. A very surprising ruling, which is if a gazlan or somebody who lent money with interest wants to return, wants to make restitution, we don't accept it from them. And if somebody who does accept it from him, the Beit Din is really not very happy with that. You know, if somebody says, I want to be a good guy and accept it and let the guy make restitution, or shall we say the guy says, I want to get my stuff back, the Beit Din is not very happy with him. Rashi brings two different lashonot here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mei Rebbe nishnet Mishnah Zu. So to answer some of our confusion here, Rabbi Yochanan says that this Mishnah was taught in the days of Rebbe, which is a very late Mishnah. And there's an explanation to it. There was a gazlan who wanted to do tshuva. Amra lo ishto. His wife said to him, Reka, imatao se tshuva, filu avnecha ina shalcha. She said, if you want to do tshuva, even your belt doesn't belong to you. In other words, what she was saying was, everything you have is stolen. If you want to do tshuva and give everything back, you're going to lose everything. What happened to him now? The fellow didn't do tshuva. He stayed and kept on to a life of crime. Potasha Amru, at that moment they said, HaGazlanin, Malveberi B, Chechziru, In Mekablin Mehem. Kam Mehem, In Racham Nochemeno. So that's where the ruling came from. And the reason is that we want to encourage people to do tshuva. And therefore, if they know that they're going to have to give everything back, they're going to hesitate to do tshuva, so we don't accept it from them. We say, let them try to give it back, we won't accept it from them, and then they know that it won't be such a difficult path back. Now this, of course, is very difficult. Tosfot addresses the issue and says that this Mishnah was not only taught in the times of Rabbi, but the ruling was limited to that particular generation because of this particular problem that they saw. Now, may we have a challenge to this. Let's say heirs inherited money that was usury. Even if they know it's usury, they don't have to return the money. All right, now, the implication is only the children don't have to return it. The implication is clear that father, were he alive, would have to return it. The only point is that the children do not inherit the liability to return, the responsibility to return it. The answer is no. B'din hu davim nami no chayav lachzir. The truth is that even father doesn't have to return it as per our state, our ruling. So then why did it pick the kids? Hariktani b'din hu. Mishum de kawai l'mitni seifa, because it wanted to teach in the seifa. Niach lam avim parav et talit. Cholavah ha-mesuyam chayavim lachzir mnei kvor avim. That on the other hand, if father left them something very specific with simanim, like an animal or a garment that he had stolen, then they do have to return it. Why? Because of kvaravim. In other words, they'll have this animal there, they'll have this garment there, and everybody's going to keep saying, oh yeah, it's a garment that Plony stole. So to remove that stain from their father, dead father's reputation, they have to return it. Right, so Tana Reisha Namididhu. So therefore, even though the Reisha that says they don't have to return it applies even to the father, the reason it was taught in the context of the children is because to set it in apposition to a case where the stolen item is a well-known particular piece, where even the children do have to return it because of Kvod Aviyam. Now, Nekvod Aviyam Chayvim Achzir, is that true? Picking up on that particular point that they have to return it to support the to maintain and preserve the respect for their father. The Torah prohibits us from cursing, for instance, a leader who's in your nation. What's the implication? Only if he's acting like a member of your nation. Now the implications of this statement are sort of interesting, because the halacha is that kibud av va'em applies even to parents who are evil. Doesn't mean you do what they tell you to do. They do a wrong thing. But you have to show them deference, even if they're wrong people, even if they're behaving wrongly. But this seems to be referring to the honor due to them after their passing. And in that case, we apply the issue of Nasiv Amcha. And the answer that we give is Kedamar Pinchas B'Shasat Tshuva. Achram B'Shasat Tshuva. We're talking about a case where father did tshuva. So wait a second. Yesat Tshuva Amabai Gabe. So if he did tshuva, why did he bequeath to his children stolen items? If he did tshuva, he should have returned them. Well, that answer is fairly simple. Well, Adore shall always speak Lachzirat Shemait. He died before he had a chance to return them. So, okay, let's see if this all plays out. Toshma, Hagazlanim, Mavibri, Reed, Afbisha, Gavu, Machzirin. Very strange phrase. Gazlanim and usurers that keep getting thrown together, even though they already collected, have to return. What kind of collection is there? Gazlanim, Maikcha, Gavu, Ika. What kind of collection is there for thieves? E gazul, gazul. If they stole it, it's stolen. Vilo gazul, lo gazul. It's not as if they have an appointment to go meet the victim and pick it up from him. Either it's stolen or not. In other words, don't read it as two different groups, but rather gazlanim, and which kind of gazlanim we're referring to. We're referring to usurers, so it's only one group here. Av bishagavu, even if they already collected their loan, the debt, with the interest, marzirin, they have to return it. So you just got through saying, malhebri, we do not return, we don't accept it from them. The answer is, from their perspective, they have an obligation to try to return it. We don't accept it from them. So what's the point of them trying to return it? Let's say, in other words, they know they don't have a legal obligation to return because of this particular takana, at least in the times of Rabbi. But they have to try to do the right thing to avoid moral stain. Let's say, Yidei Shamayim. So, Toshma. So let's see a final brayta in this regard. Haroim v'gabayin v'mochasin. Roim are shepherds who typically are thieves because they are always allowing the animals to graze on other people's property. It's something we've dealt with several times. Hagabayin here doesn't mean gabayin of the community, as it will be used in, let's say, the first parak of Babatra, but here it means, as Rashi points out, collectors for the king who collect head taxes. V'hamochsin, which are customs officials of the king. And these guys are generally corrupt and are always taking extra whenever they can. Tshuvatan kasha. If these guys want to do tshuva, it's very difficult. Why is it difficult? Because they have to return to a lot of different people. They might not even know who they're returning to. U'machzirin l'makirin. But they have to return to the people that they know they took from. Now, amri machzirin ven mekavlin mehem. So what's the solution? They try to return it, but we don't accept it from them. Good. So, if that's the case, then why is it so hard for them to do tshuva? All they have to do is identify the people that they know they took from, try to return it for them, know those people aren't going to accept it from them. They actually have a very easy tshuva. So why is it hard for them to do tshuva? What is the end of that ruling? That the people that they don't know, meaning they stole $100,000, $70,000 was from these seven citizens, but the other 30, they don't know where it came from. So what do they do with that? They should donate it to the community to fill in potholes and things like that. Cisterns and all sorts of water containers, water reservoirs. So tshuva is very simple for them. One way to resolve this is, before the takana, the tshuva was very difficult. They had to find everybody and return it to them, and it would cost them a lot, and etc. But la'achar takana, after the takana, tshuva was very easy for them, and that was the point of the takana. Mahashtad Amar Rav Nachman, Mishaing Zela Kayemet, Rav Nachman had an interpretation of the takana, that when is it that gazlanim are not obligated to return the item? That's when the item is no longer around, and then they'd be liable for money, as we saw in the previous podcast, and that they don't have to return. But if the item is still there, of course they have to return it. So it's for the right to v'shivatak zeilat. So you could say that both the ruling of that was taught in Rebbe's time not to return it, and this last ruling about the ro'im, are both v'achar takana. And we have a simple solution, which is v'lo kasha. Kan v'gzela kayamet, kan v'shen gzela kayamet. If the gzela is still around, then their tshuva is very difficult. And because they have to return it, and if the gzela is not around, then you have the ruling of Rebbe. But that's not going to work, because the ruling of Rebbe was built off of a story where the woman said to her husband, if you return everything, you're going to even lose your belt. And then made the takana saying you don't have to return it. But wait, the belt was there. V'avneit d'gzela kayemeti. So my avneit, may avneit. So what it meant, what the woman was saying to her husband was not, they're going to take your belt because the belt is a stolen item, but rather it means that you stole something and then use that money to buy the avnet, and you have to return them, pay the money, you're going to be without a belt, you'll be without anything. You won't have a shirt on your back. But after the, according to Nachman, after the takana, still, if the gzela is bain, if it's still around as is, you have to return it. Now, v'chol echad gzela kayem lo avud rabbanan takanta, anywhere where the gzela is not around, rabbanan did not make such takana, v'harei mireish to gzela kayemati, the famous takanat hashavim is about takanat mireish, which is if you steal a board and you build it into a building, you don't have to rip the building down to take it out. You rather give the value. Not all Meresha Kazul should not be Rashi. He told the Mamne Takanat Hashavim. Alright, that's something we had in Gitin. The answer Shani Hatam to Kevin the Ikab say to the Bira, Shavir Abanan Kudalate. Here's what happened. Since there'd be a great financial loss to tear the building apart to get these few boards out, therefore the Rabbanan regarded those boards as if they don't exist anymore. And then they say you have a financial liability. And then it comes to into our case where we say either from Rebbe's generation on or in Rebbe's generation only, even though the fellow should try to return it, we don't accept it from him, so we will engender even an easier path for those who want to do tshuva. Okay, we'll hold off at this point. In the next podcast, we'll begin by going back to the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel Amud Bet to see the second clause and then go into the attendant Gemara, Gazal Param Uberet, etc. The next one will be a relatively long one. Will take us to the next Mishnah, Daf Tzadivav Amud Aleph. Everyone should have a wonderful day.